Welcome back to the program. There's a reason that Hurricane Katrina still resonates with us, not just because of the magnitude of the catastrophe, but because it signaled something profound about the American condition, because it brought into bold relief the lives of many who lived behind a curtain of poverty and suffering and innate courage. This is the backdrop for this year's winner of the National Book Award, Jesmyn Ward. She received her MFA from the University of Michigan, where she won numerous awards. She was a Stegner Fellow at Stanford and currently is Assistant Professor of Creative Writing at the University of South Alabama. It is my pleasure to welcome Jesmyn Ward here to talk about her novel, Salvage the Bones. Jesmyn, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here. In many ways, the place that you write about really reflects areas similar to where you grew up. Talk about that.
It definitely does. I mean, when I set out to be a writer, I specifically wanted to write about the place that I grew up in, about the community that I grew up in, and so it's something that I try to, you know, to do in all of my work. And so the town that I write about is basically a small, rural southern town with a sizable black community. And many of the people in the town, you know, they would be considered poor by outside standards. So I mean, basically the town that I write about reflects the town that I grew up in.
And this is along the Mississippi Gulf Coast.
Yes.
In many ways, Katrina, while it certainly created a lot of devastation, and it really brought out in so many ways the fragility of the lives that people lead, because it really took away whatever little cushion there might have been.
Definitely. I mean, I've heard some people outside of my community say that Katrina was great because, well, not that it was great, but like the aftermath was this amazing thing for them because they witnessed sort of like an outpouring of generosity and of love, like in their community. But of course, the people that I've heard this from aren't people. They're not from the community that I'm from. And in the community that I'm from, that wasn't my experience, and it wasn't the experience of those around me at all. I mean, it really, you know, after the storm, people were just trying to survive and pick themselves back up. The storm was an amazing and terrible thing because it unmade the world so quickly. And you know, I don't think that the people in my generation, I don't think that we were prepared for that at all, because we'd never lived through a Category 5 hurricane, so we didn't know how easily and how quickly it can just totally change everything, the community, the landscape, everything, and take everything away.
Talk about the way in which people changed as a result.
I can only speak in general for me and for like those around me. I know that personally the storm changed me, because I was trying to be a writer before the storm, and I had written a novel, and after the storm, for a period of at least 2 years, I really didn't write that much at all. And I think that because the storm was so powerful, and like I said, it so casually unmade that world that I loved and that I wanted to write about and wanted to explore in my writing, that I think it actually stunned me into silence. But it wasn't until I saw those around me, you know, people of my mom's generation and my grandmother's generation who'd lived through this before, and I saw them, you know, I saw them picking themselves up and beginning like the long and slow process of rebuilding. And it was witnessing them, you know, their like strength and their resilience that made me, you know, it sounds trite, but it made me able to like to hope and to, you know, think that, you know, maybe, you know, we'll come back from this, and we'll, you know, we will be, you know, a community in a place again, and it will, you know, with time, like, that'll happen, and I was able to write again. So for me, those two things were, you know, tied together, like the change in myself and the way that I saw sort of other people change after the storm.
While it was ongoing in the aftermath of the storm, And you believed that people could be resilient and could come back from this, and certainly people said the right things. Were there times, were there moments where you thought that, you know, you were just buying into the cliche that, in fact, things were not going to be all right, that the resilience really would not hold?
I mean, nothing that I heard from people in power made me feel that, you know, reassured me in any way, or made me feel that anything was going to, you know, was going to change. Like I said, it was like a very personal thing, like me seeing, you know, the people in my community, the people in my town who, you know, were starting, some of them starting again from nothing, and were determined to, you know, to rebuild and make home. But, you know, as far as what I heard from, you know, politicians after the storm or talking heads, like, none of that reassured me at all that things were going to change. I mean, because what I saw immediately after the storm was, you know, of course the storm devastated the landscape, and then FEMA, you know, their policy was that as soon as they came in, and they did this in 1969 after the last big Category 5 hurricane, they evacuate, they, like, move people to different locations. And so that's their immediate response, is that, you know, is that, okay, we're going to, do you want to be relocated to live somewhere else? If so, we'll pay for it. So it's like they dismantled the community in a way after, like, when they came in. And then at the time I was also working at the University of New Orleans. So I was driving back and forth from the Mississippi Gulf Coast through, you know, to New Orleans, like through New Orleans East. And that was, you know, that was totally demoralizing, because on the coast, you know, at least we sort of like bulldozed things and cleaned the debris away, and there was sort of nothing where there had been something. But in New Orleans East, I mean, I drove back and forth for 2 years, and it, you know, for the bulk of that time, it looked like Katrina had happened a few weeks ago. You know, like there was no cleanup. You know, the buildings remained the way they were. There was like debris, and I mean, it looked like the immediate aftermath of the storm.
And this was a world where, as I mentioned before, many people were just hanging on to begin with.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that I wanted to explore in the book. I wanted to explore the lives of characters like that who were just hanging on to begin with, and then after the storm were left with even less. Because I've, you know, after the storm, I kept encountering this feedback from people who have no understanding of that area of the United States, and have no understanding of the kind of lives that these people lead. And so they were totally dismissive about the fact that, you know, people would want to come back and rebuild, or that people didn't automatically evacuate, you know, when they found out the storm was coming. So they have no understanding of what it's like to live in that place where hurricanes are always coming, and where, you know, a lot of times you don't have the resources to evacuate your immediate family, let alone your extended family, which is what most people have when they live in places like this, where, you know, there's very much a community and you're responsible for a lot of people, and, you know, where you don't have the money, you know, or the resources to do that.
All right. One of the points you make in much of what you write, which is the period of time, the days leading up to the storm, is that a lot of people believe this was just going to be another storm like so many others they had been through.
Yes. I mean, because every summer there are multiple storms, you know, form in the Atlantic and you know, and either come our way or don't come our way. So, I mean, you know, there's hurricane season every year, but then also Katrina was such a, it happened so quickly, like it formed so quickly, and then it became a Category 5. Like, we didn't find out that it was a Category 5 until the night before. It was like 8 p.m. the night before the storm hit. The storm hit at, you know, at 5, 6 a.m. on the morning that it hit. So we didn't find out that it was a Category 5 until late the night before. And, you know, I mean, we had, you know, in certain respects, like, we had no time. We'd done what we could do at that point, and then all that was left for us to do was to sit tight and try to live through it.
Talk about the children of the community and how they responded to this.
You know, it's an interesting question, because I think that young adults like the young adults, you know, the teenagers in my novel, they didn't really have a clear conception of what was coming, you know, because, you know, people in our community, like, we, you know, we've heard these stories when we're growing up about the last, you know, Category 5 Hurricane Camille and how awful it was. But I don't think that the people, that the young adults in my community, and then, you know, the teenagers in my book, like, they don't really understand, that you don't understand what it's like to live through a Category 5 hurricane until you live through a Category 5 hurricane. As far as, like, young children, my, you know, that experience was traumatic for them. I mean, you know, I was home for the hurricane. I was with my family, and my nephew was around 8 at the time, and he, you know, he was terrified, like, throughout the entire, you know, he was terrified. To witness something like that when you're so young, I mean, I think that it's probably affected, you know, it affected children in ways that we don't know yet, you know, and I don't think there's a lot of work being done on the Gulf Coast right now with, you know, with mental health and with people dealing with, like, post-traumatic stress, especially in children, with, you know, after they've lived through this, you know, horrifying, you know, momentous thing.
And even the young adults that you write about really had a lot of impact afterwards, beyond the economic and the physical impacts.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I mean, you know, there's definitely, I think, room for, you know, for more conversation around this and about how that impacts young people, and, you know, how it changes the way that they see the world and the way that they think about the world, and, like, the permanence of what is, because I think that surprised all of us, you know, like, suddenly all of the, you know, the social and, like, cultural structures that we depend on every day, like, none of those things were there. It was like a mini apocalypse. So, you know, I still think that there's a reckoning for all of us, you know, in coming to terms with how quickly those things fall apart.
In a broader sense, it is a community where, while there's certainly the resilience that you speak of, there isn't a lot of optimism, there isn't a lot of hope, and something like this snatches away what little there is in some respects.
I mean, you know, I like to think that, you know, I write towards hope in my novels, I think. But I also realize that it's a very thin, slender thread of hope. You know, it's not, I mean, the lives that a lot of the people that I know, like, the lives that they lead, you know, they're living from paycheck to paycheck. This is something, you know, they lead lives where there's not a lot in place to catch them when they encounter something like this. So, I mean, that's definitely, you know, what my characters had to deal with, you know, in the book, because I think it's reflected, you know, in the community and in the area.
Mm-hmm. What about neighboring communities, communities that weren't impacted as hard? How important were they in the big picture?
I mean, you know, communities to the, you know, to the north, in northern Mississippi, and then communities in other states, in, like, northern, you know, states, they're helpful after the storm, because they sent in, you know, aid, and I know that a lot of them sent in, like, they sent in aid, they sent in, you know, some of them, like, packed their trucks up with supplies and, like, personally drove them down. So, I mean, that was really important after the storm. But as far as communities along the Gulf Coast, I mean, all of the communities along the coast, even, you know, the eye hit, you know, on the Gulf Coast of mm-hmm. Mississippi, like, it hit Pass Christian and Bay St. Louis. And so, you know, those, like, most of the communities along the coast were really, really devastated. I mean, in that region, all those communities were just trying to attain the necessities after the storm, you know, water, food, So, I mean, I think that for people in those communities that perhaps had more resources to begin with, then, you know, there was that sort of outpouring of, like, you know, community and generosity that I alluded to earlier. But for the for people that, you know, that weren't like upper middle class or upper class, mm-hmm. I don't think that that was the case.
The other aspect of it is that so much of the attention, so much of the light, both during and after, really focused on New Orleans, that a lot of people missed the impact in places of rural poverty, for example, the areas in Mississippi you talk about.
I think that that's definitely the case. I mean, some people that I know, you know, who are from the Mississippi Gulf Coast, they really dislike the fact that New Orleans received so much of the coverage after the storm, when, you know, they experienced Hurricane Katrina, but their experience of Hurricane Katrina was different. You know, their experience was different. You know, they experienced sort of like the man-made like repercussions of a hurricane, whereas in these other areas, you know, especially along the Mississippi, in Mississippi, I mean, we experienced, you know, total devastation. I mean, entire towns were like 3/4 of, you know, of these town of a lot of these towns were just wiped away. I mean, they disappeared. And so I know a lot of people at home are still so frustrated with that coverage. And so one of the things that I wanted to address when I was writing the book, like I wanted to sort of provide a voice for, you know, for those communities outside of New Orleans and for their experience during the hurricane.
What do you think is the long-term impact on towns like this?
You know, I don't know. I'd like to be hopeful and say that they will, you know, rebuild, and you know, that they will rebuild and there will still be that sense of community there that was there before. But I think that I think that's true in some cases, but I think that that is complicated for the towns along the Gulf Coast, like along the Gulf of Mexico, because a lot of people are, I mean, some people are committed to coming back and like rebuilding those communities, but I don't know. I mean, people are afraid. You know, I mean, people are afraid. People are afraid to rebuild close to the water again, so I think that it's taking more time for some communities to come back than others. I think that, you know, it's taking some time for them to come back, and I think that in general, things are moving sort of farther north. I mean, as these communities are rebuilding, they're rebuilding, you know, further inland, so that if another big storm like this comes through, they won't be devastated in the way that they were during Hurricane Katrina. And that sort of changes the community. You know, I mean, beforehand, I mean, you know, regular sort of, you know, middle class families could afford to live like very close to the beach and sort of take advantage of this beautiful landscape. And that is not the case so much anymore. So I feel like it's sort of like diffusing. The communities are sort of diffusing like further inland where it's not as concentrated. So I don't know. I think it's changing the dynamics, and it'll probably take, you know, 10 years for me to be able to answer this question articulately.
Jesmyn Ward, her novel is Salvage the Bones. Jesmyn, I thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you.